Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. One day we're going to get an intro an intro video. Ben, let's have some fun, man. It feels like the U.S. Senate, at least a couple of them, have listened to some of our episodes on how to save college football because Senator Ted Cruz, Republican, and Senator Maria Cantwell, Democrat, have put together some bipartisan legislation. They call the – what do they call it? They call it the
– I can't believe you know what bipartisan
– Protect College Sports Act. And I got to say, Ben, it's pretty good.
It is. I mean, you and I talked about we're going to save college football. So I guess they're looking to save all of college sports, not just college football, even though that's what makes the money. But still, I like what I've seen thus far. I don't know – well, they'll get approved if somebody will come back and say, hey, let's do this, but not this. But, I mean, it's a good start, and this kind of ties in with what, you know, I had that discussion about Mike Elko yesterday. Also, you saw Kirby Smart jump in there. That seems to be the discussions that have been taking place down in Destin with the SEC coaches is, hey, we got to get a control of this because not necessarily this year, next year, but 5, 10, 20 years down the road, this could get out of hand if something's not done correctly. And it looks like I'm glad to see that somebody other than, you know, Tubbs is on his way out because he's probably going to be the next governor of Alabama. And he was one of the ones kind of championing something like this. So it's good to see that somebody like Cruz has jumped on board. And
well, both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides. I mean, that's the thing. Like Tommy Tuberville, people are going to go against Tommy Tuberville just because of who Tommy Tuberville is.
Yeah.
People are going to go against Trump just because of who Trump is. Rightfully or wrongfully, this has both sides of the aisle kind of getting involved. So no idea as far as like when it could possibly pass. We're going to break down some of the details of it and talk through it because, again, we've talked about a lot of this already. One of the things it would do is it would create an agent registry, which I think is phenomenal, and it would limit the fees to 5%. I think that is a great addition.
Well,
a great thing to have.
You and I were talking about this because I didn't realize. I thought that there was, because I guess with most agents, like there's a standard percentage. But
correct.
With these college athletes, they got uncles and brothers and dads and, you know, guys that may have a law degree, but not necessarily a sports agency that are representing. They're not even called agents. Some of them are just called representation. So,
yeah,
I guess there was no. There was really no, like, lasso around it. Like, they could charge whatever they wanted. If a kid's getting $2.5 million, if they want to take $500,000 of it, they, you know.
Well, 20%. I mean, I've seen guys that are paying 20%, which is just crazy. The NFL's limit is 3%. They're going to limit the college to 5%. Now, what number is that 3%? What number is that 5% of? Because NFL agents, that 3% is only for their NFL contract. The endorsement portion of it can be, you know, 10-20% if they go get them a, you know, a big sponsorship deal. How does that work with college? Like, you got the rev share cap or the rev share number. Like, I'm sure that's easy to put a cap on. But how do they handle NIL over and above? That would be the interesting part. The most important thing, though, to me is the registry, because I would imagine to be able to qualify as an agent in this registry, you're going to have certain qualifications. Like, you're going to have degrees. Like, a lot of those guys have law degrees in the NFL. Like, it's not just somebody you pull off the street. It's going to have a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more structure.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it.
And I'm totally okay with that because, as I just mentioned, you got some people that are like having their quote unquote representation. It could be an uncle that has a vested interest or something, and I like the registry because I know this sounds terrible because I hate taxes, but they can turn over to the IRS, and I mean you can get audited if you're taking more than your 5%. You may get busted and. You're going to be breaking federal law if you do that. So I think it's going to hold some accountability. So I'm fine with that. I would assume, Kyle, because you mentioned don't know where it's coming from. I would assume that 5% would be a blanket, whether it's 5% towards an endorsement. You know, always go back to that.
Why would you assume it's going to be a blanket? If the NFL's not that way, why would you assume it would be a blanket? I'm just curious.
I think they're trying to keep it as simple as possible, just based on what we've seen thus far that's come out. I think that if they keep it as simple as possible, so that way it covers a lot of ground. So they're not, because there is no, you know, there's no players association, there's no collective bargaining agreement. So for them to put these labels on it, like the, you know, the 5 years and the, you know, I think that's like a blanket, because that your 5 years starts at 19. So
hold on, don't jump ahead. We haven't gotten there yet.
But that, I mean, I'm throwing it in the same realm as like that stuff too. I think that's just going to be easier to control if it's a blanket. Like if they're making, you know, back when Bo Nix did his Milo's tea thing, it, you know, that agent only makes 5%, whether Bo gets paid, you know, got paid $2,500 or he got paid $1 million, he get 5%. And so, and that's the max. Maybe some of these kids wisen up and go, when the NFL, they're paying them three, so I'll give you 3%. How about that?
Maybe so.
So that may put a little more power in the athletes' hands instead of some of these agents that are
fleecing them.
Well, and we heard that kind of take place with Chad Baker when he went to USC. His agent was pushing Auburn to do more, and it's so he could get more. Well, now he's going to have a flat rate.
5%. I mean, you still get more though. Like your flat rate goes up as the money goes up. That's enough about agents. Like, but the good thing is there's going to be more structure, period. Right. The more structure, limit the fees. That's good stuff. This part, I'm not sure how it's going to go over well, and I don't know that I really like it that much, but it's going to allow the pooling of media rights. So, and that's for everybody. So I assume it's going to let, like, everybody's TV contract tracks goes into one big pot.
Yeah.
And then they share it across, you know, all of the schools, which is not ideal, I wouldn't think. And the SEC and the Big Ten are not going to be happy about that. But here's the kicker, Ben. All they got to do is have 75%. According to Brett McMurphy, all they got to do is have a 75% threshold of 138 schools to pull rights. Like, in other words, 75% of the teams have to be on board. Okay, so you know what that means? If the Big Ten and the SEC all vote no, and all the other schools vote yes, it gets pulled, period.
Huh.
Not crazy about that. That to me seems a little bit.
So let me ask you this. Does it
say? A little
commie
to me.
I didn't see this in the article, so maybe Brett McMurphy commented on this. So, like you said, the Big Ten, the SEC probably not being happy about that. Is there any way that the money just goes to the SEC office and the SEC office can distribute it? Because let's call it what it is. Alabama's going to make more money watching football Alabama than it is Vanderbilt, Kentucky. You see what I'm saying? Like as far as TV rights or the rights are concerned. So I know they said pool. Is it pooled per conference? And then the conference can share?
Doesn't say. It sounds like they just share it equally amongst everybody is what it sounds like to me.
Sounds very communist to me.
Yeah, that's one part. That's one part I'm not crazy about, for sure. I'll tell you what, though, that levels the playing field.
It does.
Big time. So, I mean, if that's what they're trying to do, like create a more level playing field, then that's definitely – that can definitely help do that or achieve that.
But that's just the media rights. So, are we going to see more of – you and I had this discussion on yesterday's Afternoon Delight. Are we going to see more Auburn-Baylor neutral sites, more Clemson-Georgia? Because that's not necessarily media rights. That's sponsorship money that they're getting that it doesn't sound will fall.
Well, in theory, if all these things happen, you won't have to do those things. Like you won't necessarily – there won't be the real big need to have to go find a ton of extra money, because there's going to be like things in place that essentially limit the flow of cash to the players a little bit. And so maybe you don't have to have those off the field, off campus games as much anymore. Let's keep working through this thing because we're actually going to get to that part.
Okay.
5-year eligibility rule for college athletes and prohibit professional players from participating if they have previously earned compensation beyond prize money. Okay. So, boom, 5 years to play five.
Yep.
I assume the window thing will probably be the same, either your 18th birthday or when you graduate high school. I'm sorry, 19th birthday or when you graduate high school, you got 5 years to play, period, end of story. And then essentially no more Euros is what it sounds like. If they've made a salary, if they've been paid a salary or any type of like game check that's not, you know, based off of like playing in a tournament and winning a pool of money at the end. It sounds like that will come to an end.
So I told you before we jumped on that the thing that I'm interested about is the prize money thing. And the
can
reason
they finagle that?
Yeah. I'm wondering if, because listen, Europe just, they just play by different rules than we do. I mean, kids over there, like what we have, our IMG schools here, they have those all over the place in Europe. Like a kid will go to this school or go to this organization to play soccer at the age of 8. And they do have study time, but clearly academics is not what they're there for.
There's not a Hoover High School over there.
Yes.
You know, that has multiple sports. A lot of these things are like clubs.
Yes.
It's clubs where, and some of them are professional clubs. That's kind of how they do it. They just don't have like an AHSAA, you know, well, Alabama High School Athletic Association.
They don't have like a, you know, they're a bunch of little small countries like we are states. So they don't have like a Department of Education. So they're not required to do the same things that our kids are required to do
exactly.
In order to pass X amount of classes.
Nor should they have to, I guess, in theory, you know what I mean?
And so I'm curious how they finagle that word prize money. Like, yes, this kid got paid, but you know they won this tournament, so we paid them $2 million in prize money. That's not necessarily that's a salary. It's not classified as a salary; it's classified as prize money. So
I'm sure there'll be limits.
I'm sure
on how much money they can make,
and I'm sure the European. But I don't know that that's that heavy of a problem right now. I know that we got a European player.
I think it's a huge problem,
and we had one last year.
Quite frankly.
But it's more, you know, will this affect our punting situation with like these guys that we're getting to, these punters we're getting from this Australia league that basically focus on treating guys how to be American football punters. Does that either go away or do they have to finagle a way to call it quote unquote prize money? So
it just seems like it, here's the deal. Guys like Mantis, Rubes Devicius, are going to have issues with this. Like, and what issues as in, like, if you've played multiple years under professional clubs and signed professional contracts, it looks like you're not going to be able to play college sports. Mm-hmm. So, however, they're going to have to worry about the restructuring, not us. So that could be –
only thing we'll have to worry about is making sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed to say Steven goes over to get a European player. You got to make sure it's on the up and up if you're bringing one over, because if they receive check, like you don't want him being deemed ineligible midway through the year because they found out that he was getting paid, you know, a salary.
But Ben, why do they want to come here and play versus playing? They want to come here because the money's here. So if the money's here, they're not going to want to come here anymore. Like they'll probably just stay and play with where they are and make as much money as they want and then try to go in the NBA draft at some point in time. Like I don't, the only reason they're trying to come over here is to get a piece of all the NIL that's going freely. Again, when you limit the cash flow, it may limit the player flow as well. Let's get to a break really quick and we'll come back. There's some other good pieces that we're going to talk about. Let's give a shout out to buyauburn.com. Don't forget, if you are a Auburn business owner, it's less than $1 a day to sign up. We got a couple of applications in yesterday, actually, from new businesses. So we're constantly adding new businesses every single day. We drop business spotlight podcasts that you can still take advantage of with your membership fee. All kind of fun stuff. And then if you're a Auburn fan, do business with Auburn people, man. And you can start at buyauburn.com. Ben, here's a couple other things that are a part of this. You got the Lane Kiffin rule. And essentially what this does is prohibits
– I think this is hilarious too.
A coach them. From leaving their team before the season ends, dubbed by some as the Lane Kiffin rule.
Okay.
So my question is, how strict is this thing? Like, could you do a John Summerall and have to do both essentially? And then is that desirable? Especially if it's a Lane Kiffin. Here's the thing. There's very few scenarios, I think, like Lane Kiffin, where you transfer intra-conference.
Yep, I agree.
And essentially you're going to be recruiting the same type. Like you, and you can then recruit the players from the team you're leaving to the team you're going to. How strict are they going to be with that? And then can you opt out of it and tell them, yeah, they're fine to leave? Like, we'll handle it because we don't want them to.
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't even think about that.
Destroy our program, basically.
Yeah. And again, I think it goes down to creativity.
Because remember, Ole Miss essentially, they're calling it the Lane Kiffin rule, but Ole Miss is the one that wouldn't let them do it.
Yeah.
Like, it was Ole Miss's decision to not let Lane Kiffin coach. So if they're calling it the Lane Kiffin rule, does that mean you can't even accept a new job until the season ends?
Well, and also this brings into, what about guys that are trying to grow their pro or grow themselves and get better? What if you're a Fresno State coach, but you get a job offer to Florida? Like, that's a better job, you know, and this rule is saying basically you can't take it till after the season. You know, is this going to affect the step up coaches? You know, like Summerall coming from, you know, going Troy to Tulane to Florida, like he was moving up. Golish going, you know, assistant Tennessee, you know, head coach down at South Florida. That's a step up to come to Auburn. I mean,
makes it tough.
So now, granted, he was late and it was after the season was Golish, but you know, let's move those dates a little bit and put him back. You know what I mean? So, I think this is, you said it best just a minute ago. I think the Lane Kiffin thing was a unique situation. Maybe they ought not to call it the Lane Kiffin rule, and they, you know, they got to find another way around that. Because if you got guys that are at Troy that are wanting to take a job at Georgia, I don't think you should limit them to, hey, you can only take that job during this window. Because clearly that's a step up in a program to go from a smaller school to a larger school. But it sounds like if they're going to stick, keep it.
I don't think you can do that, man. I think you got to say the same rule for everybody.
I know.
You know, I don't think you can say, like, how do you qualify what's a step up? And you know what I mean? For everybody. Okay. So
that's what I'm saying. I guess when it comes to this portion, you're probably going to have some people that propose some arguments that go, hey, do we want to leave this part out? I mean, this is all just preliminary. This is what they're introducing. There'll be filibustering and there'll be arguments on the floor about what can be in there and what can't be in there. So the thing's going to be rewritten.
I'm going to be honest. I'm okay with this.
I'm fine with it.
Because everybody would play.
I'm playing devil's advocate of what if this scenario presents itself under this. You see, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Doesn't sound like it, but I'm okay with the European thing, like the prize money. And I know that I'm saying that as we got two guys that played European League basketball. They're going to be playing for Auburn this year. And Rupe Devicius and Ingoy. So that would eliminate them if this rule were to take place right now. Yeah. But I'm still okay with it. But I'm just devil's advocate. I'm playing, say, another senator on the floor that goes, nah, because we need to be able to do this and this. So I think there's going to be some pushback from some people on some of these things.
Maybe so. One-time free transfer. So you get one-time free transfer, and then you have to sit out after that.
I'm totally okay with that. And the reason being is because they ought to call this the TJ Finley rule. I don't like the whole unlimited transfer, being able to go to the highest bidder type deal. Because somebody like him that took advantage of it and you're at seven schools in 7 years, or, you know, Chad Baker, who, you know, is at Auburn, then he's at USC, and then he's – I just – I'm okay with the one-time free transfer. I still think – I go to Charles Barkley's thing. I think every kid ought to have to spend their first 2 years at the school they chose, because you need to get into the program and see how it's run first. But that doesn't sound like it's part of it. It sounds like if they're not happy their freshman year, they can get gone. So,
they're supposed to grant anti – this bill would also grant antitrust protections, which is huge – around transfers, eligibility, and compensation cap. So, like, creating compensation cap, and then giving, like, also creating a college sports commission that actually has, like, the legal ability to enforce those laws. So, like, in other words, they can't get sued, and I would assume they'd have probably subpoena power and stuff like that. So that would, to me, bring in the idea of having enforceable contracts.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. What if I miss as a coach on a I bring in a transfer and I miss? I'm freaking stuck with them.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Like, instead, like, why don't we just have 2-year contracts? I sign a guy to a 2-year contract and then I renegotiate after the 2 years. Heck, I may not want him anymore. Or yeah. I may, and the cool thing is, like, after 2 years, you probably have a pretty good idea if they're going to be playing or not, and they are going to have a pretty good idea if they're going to be playing or not. So then you just sign them to another 2 or 3 year deal, lock them in for 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like the TJ Finley rule. Was how much was that TJ Finley, and how much of it was the school that he was at didn't want him anymore?
Oh, you got a good point. Or how much of it was his representation just putting him out there for the highest bidder the next time around?
Yeah, I just in those things could be the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, he could have gotten a pay decrease from the school he was at, and because they didn't want him anymore. And then his agent goes and finds, you know, the highest bidder, but it's really because the school he was at maybe didn't want him anymore. I don't know about the 1 year thing. I know that sounds good on paper, but like, you got to think about it from the coach's perspective too. Like, okay, let's say after I think this freshman kid has, after his freshman year, I think he's going to be pretty good, and I get him in here and he's, you know, a bum. I'm stuck with him for 4 years.
Yeah.
I can't do anything with him.
Mm. You know, that's a good point. I mean, I like the rule in theory.
Sounds great in theory.
In theory, I like the rule, but you got a good point. Whereas, and that was Barkley's thing when he talked about making a kid stay for minimum 2 years, is then the coaches and players get to know one another and find out if they're going to work out. Because, and maybe that's a caveat. Maybe you say, you know, the one-time transfer, but also minimum 2 years if you sign with a program. Maybe that's it. You know, as a true freshman. Yeah. Golly, I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, because, well, let's just use Auburn. Look at Jackson Arnold. You can't tell me that Auburn wouldn't have been looking for a new quarterback, regardless if he transferred out or not.
That was his one transfer.
Yep. That was his one. So Auburn would have been stuck with him for the next couple. So do you just leave him on the roster and take up a roster spot and just bring in somebody that you know is going to take over instead of him?
It's tough too, because like,
because that's not fair for the kid either.
Not fair for Jackson.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm like, if we have like the whole big thing is if you can create as many ideas as you want, if you don't have the enforceability, like if you don't have the ability to actually enforce it legally, it don't matter. You know what I mean? That's why I was saying we need to either something like this that can create the antitrust protection.
Yeah.
Or a league that everybody kind of buys into.
Yeah.
If it gives you the ability to enforce contracts, enforce rules, enforce a hard cap where maybe you can say, okay, here's the deal. I need tax returns. I need bank statements. I need to see your LLCs that are attached to your name, so I know exactly how much money you're making, because you're only supposed to be making this much. Yeah. Like, if you actually have that arm, which, God almighty, that's going to be a mess, because we're talking 138 football teams. How many other teams
are there? Football teams with
in other sports.
100-plus kids on each roster.
Holy cow. That would be a nightmare. But if they can do it, if they can pull it off, I do think it would make it would level the playing field as best as it's ever been. Now, it's going to bring back, I would imagine, the dark money. But again, the dark money, you're talking 20 grand.
Yeah, the 50 grand. Dark money is going to be something simple like getting with a real estate agent and finding your family a condo in town. And, you know, and like you said, cars, 20 grand, 50 grand. I definitely don't, I don't think you might drop
it. They got subpoena power. If they have that kind of enforcement power, like the only thing you're really going to be able to do is cash.
Yeah.
Because if you make a big purchase, it's going to be traceable.
Yeah.
So you're talking about cash. So you're talking about 20 grand, 50 grand, you know, and then it's like, okay, well, we got the cash. That's not that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it for 100 years. That's, again, this makes it about as level as you possibly can be. I'm not crazy about the TV pooling rights because, you know, I do like the fact that the SEC is like one of the most powerful conferences. The Big Ten, you know, they're probably fired up about being, you know, one of the more powerful conferences. That definitely weakens, to me, it definitely weakens your overall power across the board. But, you know, does the rising tide bring up all the ships and make it, you know, a much more fun experience where it really feels like anybody can win it any single year? I don't know.
If that's the case and it makes it more of a level playing field, that's when, and this is a whole other show that we can get into, that's when the 24 team playoff makes sense because everybody will be a lot more equal.
I still think it makes sense.
Playing ground.
They're closer. You're right. That would make it even more legitimate. I think, though, the playoff, and again, like you said, this is a whole other show. Number 10 played number 10 played number 1 for the national championship.
Yeah.
And number 10 beat like number 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
In the semifinals. And numbers 1 through 4 for the 2 years are, what were they, 1-7
one,
in their first round games. So like just the expansion to 12 leveled the playing field a little bit more. And now I think 24 would do it even more, but like you said, it doesn't make sense to do less than 24. If this goes through and then kind of everybody's, you know, got more opportunities to make it happen and they're not just, you know, you don't just have a whoever spends the most wins.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much that goes along with the spending the most because, as I told you, we discussed this in the previous pod. I mean, when you get that money, when Elko gets that $38 million that he can use, those alums expect results too. And so it puts more pressure on the coaches. Whereas when it becomes more of a level playing field, good coaches will retain their jobs and they'll be able to retain, especially with the playoffs expanding like they're going to do, good coaches will stay at places probably a little bit longer. Because I'm telling you, man, this money that's being handed out now, when you start talking about $38 and $40 million and $50 million that programs are using, if they don't see national titles, those alums are going to run folks out of town. And this would make it, if they are a good coach, more of a level playing field. So I like the direction it's headed, Kyle, with these rules. I just think there are going to be some little tweaks that need to be made along the way that answer some questions. Because, I mean, like you put, you and I have had this fixed college football discussion three or four episodes that we've talked about this. And what you just said about the one-time transfer, that never crossed my mind that a kid and a coach get stuck because they got their one time and you look no further than right down the road with Jackson Arnold or with any other player that's transferred in and not worked out, regardless of sport. I mean, you got baseball players that have not even seen the field this year because it turns out that Auburn had some really good freshmen and they paid these guys to come transfer in here and they're not even on the field right now. So
exactly.
You make a good point. That's going to be brought up. I mean, there's going to be some representation, but again, I think it's a start. Something's got to be done. As much as I don't like Elko and he had it right when he said it earlier in Destin, when you look at a 10-year plan or a 20-year plan, we're not headed in the right direction. They got to reel it in some way or another.
And I like the bipartisan part of this. Now, if you put your social studies hat on, you know that more than likely this is not going to be voted on before midterms. No. So I don't think anybody wants to attach their name to much before elections and stuff are over. But I guess when it passes the Senate, what does it have to do is it has to go to the House before it goes to the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it goes to the House, you're going to have a whole nother round of, you know, back and forth before it goes to the president. The good thing is I think if it gets to the president, he wants something done. So it'll get stamped and go through. You just got to get it through all these.
Yeah. But you're still limited in where, like how quickly, like, cause you're looking at this won't take place before the 2027 fall season. I don't think.
No, you're 2 years away, I think.
So, I mean, he's going to be headed out in that 2 years. I mean, you know, they still got to get moving quickly if they want the current administration to sign off on it, because you may have a whole new administration.
Very true.
So I think there's a little bit of a sense of urgency, but it's not going to take place by next fall by any means.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Guys, let us know what you think. We're out of here. A lot to talk about. We'll talk again tomorrow.
This could be an hour and a half discussion. I mean,
could have had a whole show on each one of these individual things.
Yeah, no doubt.
Ben, we'll talk again tomorrow. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.